Your countdown clock has now terminated function. Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up.
Right now, having a national security scare is actually good political news for the president and the White House and the Republican Party.
Morning, you will be voted by CCTV.
But the problem today is that the situation is so large and so all-encompassing that whatever is going to happen, the whole world is going to feel it. Everything. Everyone's going to feel this one.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Illuminating Radio. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
We are a powerful people representing powerful ideas that cannot be stopped by standing armies, for our time has come. Good evening. It's September 24th, 2008. I'm your host, Alex Ansari, reporting for duty on WTPRN, live from Portland, Oregon. Now we're here every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 Pacific Time. That's 10 to midnight Central Standard Time, or 11 to 1 Eastern Standard Time. We're going to be taking your phone calls at 512-646-1984, and we look forward to that. Your opinions on the economic crisis at hand. The $750 billion bailout. How do you feel about that? Do you think it affects you? Now, how are you reacting to this information? What are you doing about it? There's a lot of things going on in the news as usual. Hey, have any of you ever seen the movie Red Dawn? It's about the Russian invasion of the United States of America. Well, apparently it's going to be remade. And I'm interested to see that movie. Kind of an odd time, don't you think, to be talking about a invasion of the United States, at least in a movie. Well, let's look at the news. We see Hugo Chavez going to Russia. Actually, Russia was just in Venezuela. With nuclear and conventional weapons on board fighter jets. A lot of different things taking place. They're seeking to obtain some territory there in Cuba where they can place their bases, their fighter jets, to take on the United States. I think all this is manufactured. It's just hidden in plain sight. I mean, these people, the United States, Russia, China, they share all this technology. They're getting ready for something in the near future. Meanwhile, they brought the Olympics to distract us on 888. How symbolic. It makes you wonder what's next. So there's a lot of stuff in the news. There's also stuff in the news about brain scanning cameras, brain scanning computers. And even in India, they're starting to use these in the court of law. They even have little devices they're using in Iraq. Lie detector tests. Innocent or guilty, determined by a computer? Freedom or a jail cell, that's not the option in Iraq. That can be a life or death scenario where they look towards the machine to give them the answer. Is this someone that we should kill? Or is this someone that we should let go? All based upon what? What the machine says. So we're seeing that now also in the news while we talk about the threat of a third world war, I mean a full-scale war. Some people say that the third world war started with 9/11 or the invasion of Iraq, but I'm talking about the big one, the one that affects us all, where there's no denying it hitting the fan. You know, we all have front row seats. We take a look at these brain-scanning cameras. You pull up alexhanser.com. I got a couple different articles on it. I got one about a demonstration recently where they showed how a cell phone can read brainwave activity, show your heart rate even, and other things. It's quite interesting. So this is where technology is going in this new America that we're living in, spelled with three Ks instead of one C. And yeah, it's just a wee bit alarming. In terms of the economic situation, we have a 12th bank that's failed. It's called Ameribank, and this is based in Virginia. And all this is just moving right along. The economy breaks down. The police state comes out in full force, and we're no longer concerned about just standard CCTV cameras. I mean, that's old school. I mean, the things happening today make 1984 look like a cakewalk. I mean, this is surreal, ladies and gentlemen. Brain scanning cameras, cell phones that can pick up your heart rate and what's going on with you. NeuroSky, that's the name of this corporation that's based in Southern California, demos their brain-controlled mobile phone application. And it also deals with people being able to, by thought, control what's taking place on the computer screen. So already a man-machine interface taking place, already in our world, with no microchip, mind you, no chip required. Now, this particular article, in terms of brainwave cameras being used in the airports, comes to us from USA Today. And this stuff's getting more blatant, more in your face. I mean, it is the world that you live in. And before I go into this report, I mean, there's no easy solution to a very complex problem. This is more or less a representation of how out of balance our society really is, how afraid people really are of one another. So in terms of changing the world as we know it, our consciousness being greater than the consciousness that created the problem, we have to move beyond fear of one another. Not just talking about what the government and what they're doing, but going a little deeper, facing ourselves, looking ourselves in the mirror and being truthful 110% of the time. Now, the headline reads from USA Today, anxiety-detecting machines could spot terrorists. A scene from the airport of the future, a man's pulse races as he walks through a checkpoint. His quickened heart rate and heavier breathing sets off an alarm. A machine senses his skin temperature jumping. Screeners move in to question him, interrogate him. Signs of a terrorist, question mark? Or simply a passenger nervous about a cross-country flight? I'm going to pause there. Aren't you nervous sometimes now when you get on a plane knowing that 1 in 300 Americans are now on the terror watch list? And it's already come out in the news that people in our government or people in the United States working for the airliners, working for these organizations, Homeland Security, building these lists, just like in the UK, have already gone public, blown the whistle about how they have been asked to meet quotas per month, as in the amount of people they enter into that database, whether innocent or guilty, doesn't really matter. Just get them in the database. And so now you're hearing about reports about people want to put cameras in the seat in front of you, analyzing your eye rate, the rate in which your eyes move. Not simply just an iris scan, but trying to detect nervousness. And based upon that assumption that nervous people may have been a terrorist attack, they plan to pull people aside and question them. And in this report, it goes on to say that it may seem Orwellian, but on Thursday, the Homeland Security Department showed off an earlier version of psychological screeners that could spot terrorists. The department's research division is years away from using the machines in an airport or an office building. I highly doubt that is truly completely truthful. But anyway, they say that even if they work, officials believe it's going to be a period of time before they get them implemented around the country. They believe the idea could transform security by doing a bioscan to spot dangerous people. So in the end, they think that probably as a result of upcoming terrorist attacks or false flags, the people will beg for this type of enslavement. More security for a little bit of liberty, or for a little bit of giving up some liberty for a little bit of security, when in the end, most people deserve neither because they can't even quote or even know how to find the Bill of Rights or U.S. Constitution. In fact, I had a friend of mine that was selling some artwork at Pioneer Courthouse Square in downtown Portland, and what happened was an officer came up and told him to move, and he did. He said he was going to move, and a girl came up and called him an a-hole. And he said, "You better watch your tongue or I'll write you a ticket." And he jumps up in her defense and says, "But what about the Bill of Rights, U.S. Constitution, First Amendment? I mean, she can actually say that to you." He leans towards my friend, this guy who's really just really a rent-a-cop as opposed to a cop. He's a TriMet supervisor. TriMet is our local mass transportation system here in Portland, Oregon. And so these people think they're cops because they walk around with a badge and a little bit of authority. He leans towards my friend here who defends this girl. The cop threatens with a ticket. He leans over towards my friend and says, "Constitution is dead. It ain't around anymore. And people actually believe this stuff. This actually will come out of people's mouths. And I do believe it's the direct result of mind control. But anyway, in terms of the analysis of the mind, this stuff's not just happening in the airports, it's happening elsewhere. I mean, eventually this stuff will be in our streets. Eventually this stuff will be downtown. Eventually this stuff will be at the bus mall. You know, they got billions of dollars spent in all this technology. You think it's just going to end if Barack Obama gets in the White House? Barack Obama, anyway, regardless, probably is not going to enter the White House. He's there just to divert. He's there just to distract, to add to that illusion that things are going to change just because the rhetoric and the puppet and their jacket and their face and their mask has changed. Nothing's changed. But you try telling that to someone around my neighborhood at a local pub or a local restaurant around the street, and they think you are insane. So, folks, we have to do something now with this information that we have. It's a little bit more than personal survival. It's about the collective whole. It's about the big picture. A lot of other things also taking place in the news. You know, the Russians just got done doing a drill. ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles being shot in the North Pacific. Yeah, they had a drill between September 15th and the 20th of September of this year. Things are moving fast. Every day it's another thing. You know, I'll pull up Google.com as I'm uploading my website with new, fresh links to news. You know, I'll go to the other alternative sites, but I'll just see what Google has to say first thing, because I'm just wondering how far away we are to something really big happening. Waking up one day and realizing that the economy actually has crashed, or that the first strikes have actually been launched. I mean, it's disturbing to think about. But we're there. I mean, we have front row seats. It doesn't matter if you're listening in Alabama or South Carolina or North Carolina or in New York or in Oregon. It really doesn't matter. Or we have a lot of listeners here at We the People overseas. You know, our brothers over in London, you know, in Belgium, in the Netherlands, in New Zealand. A lot of people are listening to this network from all over the world. Why? Because we represent these ideas that can't be defeated by standing armies, ideas whose time have already come. In fact, overdue, long overdue. This stuff's going to be with us, my friends, for a lifetime and the generation to come. And it's the generation to come that's going to be inheriting all this debt, this bottomless pit of debt, along with the shackles and handcuffs that go along with that bottomless pit of debt. So it's all happening for a reason. And you've got to find the others. You've got to find the people in your community that you can rely on. And on the topic of neighbors, we have some new neighbors that moved in next door to me. It's interesting because people are highly pretentious in the city I live in, very focused on themselves. And anyone that seems to be outside of their circle, in their eyes, is irrelevant. So you try to have a conversation with someone about the world, and as soon as you get into this stuff, they get scared. Or a lot of people, or a lot of women specifically, get afraid of men that they don't know based upon a belief system that they have about men, or something that's seen on the TV, or some experience they've had in their own life with men that turned out to be negative or threatening. So I get to live in this world on a day-to-day basis, seeing the fear in other people's eyes and feeling their energy field to a certain degree, because I'm very aware of where people are at. Just by looking at them, coming a mile away, what's going on with them, maybe not specifically, but generally, in a general sense, feeling that anxiety, that tension, that fear, that worry, that in my eyes, personally, to be honest with you, doesn't really need to be there. Things could be a whole lot different. I think we're all brothers and sisters to a large, large degree, but we're disillusioned by our own egos, by our own fears, our own delusions. These delusions that take place in the mind. Self-perpetuated at times as well, as we continue to lie to ourselves as to who we are and who other people are. It's not about the United States and saying we are a people, generally in this country, that are ignorant on a collective level. It's more about all the off-kilter imbalances that are taking place in a global sense between men and women, between men and men, women and women, neighbors and neighbors, because you see conflict all around you, and I see it in the city. And it's really sad because it doesn't have to be that way. However, in a sense, for some people, they believe it does. I think maybe subconsciously on a soul level, for them to learn something, for them to learn from the errors of their ways. Perhaps maybe this really is happening for us instead of just to us. There's a lot of weird stuff happening. Wars, the threats of war, the rumors of more war, we're already in a war, combined with the earth changes taking place on the planet. What's going on, and is there a purpose for you and me collectively being here at the same time? But in terms of the economy, let's go back to that. Things are changing, and we're no longer the superpower. In fact, China's preparing their own one-world currency to combat the Western financial WMD they accuse the U.S. of launching. And it's really interesting to see how this is going to play out. The Chinese aren't alone. They're hooked in with the Russians under the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. And the Russians are also in the news this week talking about their own proposal for an international monetary system that would combat the U.S. system. It's happening in front of your very face. You deny it, that's fine. You can run. The reality is, you'll never actually be able to hide from the new world order. Not a physical prison or one with cages. We're actually already there. It's more transparent, and the cage is being built around us slowly, but still, it's still there, whether you choose to look at it or not. All right, we'll take your phone calls at 512-646-1984. Brief break. And then we'll be back.
Are gasoline and diesel fuel costs eating away your personal and business finances? Stupid question, right? What if there was a simple, low-cost, and safe engine add-on that allowed your car, SUV, pickup, or even your semi to use water as a fuel? Yes, I said water. We have the answer. Go to HydroFreedom.com now to find out how you can boost your vehicle's gas mileage by 30, 50, or even 70% or more using water and gasoline together. An easy-to-assemble add-on produces HHO, a combination of hydrogen and oxygen, often called Brown's gas. And the only byproduct created is good old water. Your engine will run smoother, last longer, and have more power, better engine performance, and less harmful emissions. You may even qualify for an IRS refund just for using it. Check us out at HydroFreedom.com. Break away from the oil cartel and save money in the process. Go to HydroFreedom.com to learn more. That's www.HydroFreedom.com.
Cascadia Public Radio.
Now think about this. Now that it's getting a little bit colder, you know, summer's over. It seems like we're moving quickly into winter in some areas. It's fall, technically. But we're already adjusting our clothing. I mean, we're trading our flip-flops for shoes, T-shirts for jackets, and flip-flops for shoes, and shorts for pants. All you're doing is just adjusting to the fact that it's getting colder and we may have a storm ahead. And we're also, in a way, adjusting to our, you know, own survival needs on a global scale. Here on this show, we're discussing the same exact thing. I mean, in sense of something being even larger, though. I mean, an economic storm, being prepared, talking about getting the things that you need while you still can, while the dollar actually still has some ability to function. But, I mean, people are already predicting that, you know, there could be a 90% drop in the value of the dollar in the near future. I mean, and this is going to affect us in a real up-close and personal way. And so I really worry about a lot of families out there, you know, a lot of people that aren't ready for these changes. You know, at the same time, I feel like our dreams have been robbed of us, that we're not dreaming enough, imagining enough what our world can actually look like, because we're so much on the defensive, worried about all these things. It's like, what else is actually possible? How else can we live? I don't see enough people talking about those things. I see a lot of people that think they're a part of the sustainable movement or think they're real environmentalists, when in fact they're not. There are a lot of spoiled brats living in the system that are still dependent on imports from other countries. And they're not making the proper precautions. They're not taking the proper precautions or going through what they need to be going through to be off the grid. Because people are, you know, threatened, their belief systems, that is, when you start talking about things changing in a big, big way to where we really have to be independent more than they predicted in the past. You know, they talked about, you know, the end of oil and, you know, things just being about that particular issue. I mean, when you're talking about a controlled economic crash, I mean, this is some serious stuff. You know, there's a bloodbath I could follow after all this stuff. Don't be scared. Just deal with it. Grow up. Pull yourself up by your goddamn bootstraps and deal with this stuff. Because this is for real. This is our world. Isn't it amazing that we can talk about this, read about this stuff? It's all there, hidden in plain sight. People aren't concerned. People don't care. They're still enjoying the movie. They're still living in the movie. Well, if we want to change the world, if we want real change, we have to do a little bit more than just scream at the movie screen, asking it to change. We have to look at the projector itself, the root cause of many of our problems. And so we have a long ways to go. There is a war being fought, I believe, right now on our planet between good and evil. You can see the darkness in the streets at times. And you can also meet the angels in the flesh. People that provide you with a sense of hope or some inspiration, information, knowledge, perhaps wisdom, mind you. Wisdom, or something a little different than just knowledge or building up the intellect. And that is what life's all about. A lot of people don't get that. Think it's all about getting all their answers easily packaged in a book. One book, mind you. Or through one Sufi, or one prophet, or one guru. I think the whole world itself, to a certain degree, is a big tarot deck. It's a big, interesting world where we get stuff. We get information through people, through our experiences. They're there for us when we need them. Just like pulling that right card out of the deck. You don't necessarily need all those things. All those books, all this information, all these belief systems. You do need to be aware, though, and be willing to be on the path. It's less about the destination and more about the journey. If we're not going to change the way we look at the world, when are we going to do that? If not now, when? Now let's talk about Pakistan. You know, there's another war that's brewing on the sidelines. And there are already reports coming in about the Pakistani army firing on U.S. choppers. And so we're seeing incrementally an invasion of Pakistan. Now that General President Musharraf is out of office. So there's a power void to a certain degree. Now this report comes from Islamabad. The report is actually published by Reuters. U.S. drone crashes in Pakistan. A suspected U.S. pilotless drone has crashed in the northwest Pakistani region after a spat of missile attacks by unmanned U.S. aircraft in Pakistan strained ties between the allies. Why do you think that is? Because they're killing civilians. But this is nothing new. Pakistan has said U.S. missile attacks and one U.S. ground assault are a violation of its sovereignty, and the army has vowed to defend Pakistani territory, as I said just a minute ago, in terms of firing on the choppers. There are also some reports that they're actually not firing at the U.S. troops, but they're simply firing into the air as a warning. Those reports have also come out. Pakistani news channels said earlier on Wednesday that a U.S. operator drone had come down near the border village of Angorada, where U.S. commandos launched a raid on September 3rd. Pakistani military confirmed that a pilotless aircraft had come down, but did not identify it as an American aircraft. Other countries with forces in Afghanistan have not been known to operate drones over Pakistani territory. And so it is being identified as a surveillance unmanned aerial vehicle, according to the Army. Now, in addition to that, we have other pieces of information pointing in the direction of North Korea. Some of you may have heard the reports about Kim Jong-il going missing since sometime in August. The North Korean press is disputing those reports, calling it propaganda. Who knows at this point? What we do know is they have about 1 million troops, and they are aligned with Russia and China, although not officially in the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. What is happening now in North Korea, allegedly, according to the Associated Press, is that the nuclear reactors with the UN stamps, whatever you call them, UN safeguards, UN logo over the reactors has been removed. The seal, you call it a UN seal, and that they may be working towards developing some sort of a nuclear weapon. Meanwhile, I know this is a lot of stuff, but we're working to just give you, you know, a wide variety of news, and you can make your own decision as to what's actually going on. I think they're staging World War III, to be honest with you, and I've said that before. So, I mean, this is bizarre to see this manifest and people not actually take it seriously. To just view all this as just a casual thing that's not going to affect us. It's going to affect us very much. Now, Kyle in Texas has called in, and we have a break coming up in about 30 seconds. So I'm going to go out with this last piece of information pertaining to some of the other Russian war games that are taking place. As I said before, they're in Venezuela. In Venezuela, their president is going to Russia soon, and they're doing a number of maneuvers around the Caribbean, the North Pacific, and also in the Atlantic. The president now of Russia is calling for a annexation of the Arctic. And so there's going to be a run on the oil, so to speak, in that region. And so a lot of tension is brewing up there. We'll be back in a few, and we'll take your phone calls. Kyle from Texas is up next, and then we'll go to whoever else is waiting in the wings at 512-646-1984. See you then. Attempt to light up the phone lines tonight at 512-646-1984 and get your perspective on the world at large. At this point in the broadcast, we're going to bring on Kyle from Texas. Good evening.
Hey, Alex, how are you doing today?
Doing well tonight.
Hey, I just thought I'd comment on what you were saying earlier about how people are not connecting. You know, you said you had neighbors that you try to go talk to, and they just wouldn't want to, you know, talk. You know, that's kind of, to me, one of the fundamental problems with today is, you know, everybody's brought into, you know, as you said before, people are brought into these belief systems of, you know, being in certain cliques or, you know, it's going to be us against them, and really we miss out at certain things that we can work with other people on, you know.
Yeah, I agree, absolutely. You can miss out on a lot just by making judgments, and sometimes we can... we can fall into the habit of doing that as well. It's good at least recognize that it's a major, major issue, and there are walls that have to be torn down.
Absolutely, you know, it's like every day, you know, it's just something that we see. I caught this today watching the news too. I was watching, you know, Ron Paul give a speech on, or you know, watching him on Fox News with some of the anchors there, and they were trying to get him to blame the system. And that, I think that's a problem nowadays too. Is, as you said before, you know, that's another reason why we don't want to connect with people, is because we have to try to find someone to blame, and we always try to blame our neighbor for our problems when, in fact, you know, I would have to say 90% of our problem comes from something we've caused ourselves. You know, let's take the economic crisis right now. Right now they're trying to blame greedy CEOs and everything, which, you know, might be part of it. But the thing is, why should Congress have to regulate something that the shareholders are responsible for? Or in people's own personal finances, you know, why should, you know, they have to get a stimulus check because, you know, they couldn't take care of their own personal finances, you know? And I think that's part of the reason why that's why a lot of it is wrong with this world, is because nobody wants to take individual responsibility and nobody wants to engage people, you know, responsibly and maturely. You know, I agree with you there, but you know what? I don't agree with you there. That kind of thing, as opposed, you know, as to what people usually do now is, well, hey, you support this idea, and because you support that one idea, which really doesn't make much of a difference, I'm 100% against you. And to me, as I said before, it cuts us off from a lot of opportunities and to do some interesting things and possibly, you know, make some money or be creative ourselves, you know? Hello?
That's a good point, and it's a trap that a lot of people fall into in this world. I agree with you on that one. So what is it going to take to get beyond that? It's going to take a big shakeup, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, what I tell a lot of people, too, and as you said before, I just reach out to people. You know, I talk to them. You know, I don't necessarily engage them in, you know, world events. Like, you know, I try to find where they're, you know, where they're comfortable at, you know, and ease it into there. And usually after a while, people start talking to you about certain things, or you can, you know, throw in a little word and, you know, people will start opening up to you. So I think, you know, as long as you know we, you know, we make an active effort to reach out to people and just be genuine about it. I think, you know, that's one way we change, you know, if we want people to connect more in the world, we got to go out and engage people ourselves, you know. You know, let's take some action, you know. That's, I think it's one place to start is, you know, just go up to people on the street, talk with them, you know, or if you're downtown, you know, going to the bars, talk with people, you know. I mean, isn't that the reason why we go out and do that stuff? So, kind of my take on that.
Well, last night I happened to have a camera with me, and I walked by a guy who was a street artist, and we ended up talking about the world, and I asked him if he wanted to do a YouTube video with me. So if you go over to alexhansery.com and click on that video, The Walls That Divide Us, that's our 10-minute conversation about all the different cliques and all the different groups and bubbles that people live in, that through their own ego divides them from other people from growing and learning new things, you know, based on their belief systems. So we were talking about that, and it was a cool little video to make. And so there's a lot of opportunities to reach out, but it's hit or miss because, you know, it's like you're swimming in a toxic river looking for diamonds. And, you know, it's like you're trying to talk to a whole sea of approaching zombies that don't understand what we're saying. But, you know, in that herd, sometimes if you look carefully and, you know, focus your eyes, you can see those sparks of light, people trying to emerge from that herd and find someone or something to pull them out of that matrix of illusion. And so we have to at least keep our eyes open for those people that do want to escape. And I see more and more every day trying to jump ship, look at the world a whole different way, just so they can make sense of it all.
Absolutely. You know, I actually was able to get through, after a while, I was able to get through to one friend about, you know, Barack Obama. You know, he'd been buying into the whole thing, you know, how I was wrong because I was a right-wing nut job, which, you know, I'm really not a right-wing nut job. You know, I'm, you know, libertarian. I'm not supporter of George Bush or anything like that. And I just kind of tried to point out to him, you know, a couple months ago that, hey, he's just another politician like everybody else out there. And he's like, no, no, you're wrong, dude. And, you know, I guess, you know, me just reaching out to him, even though he wasn't ready to take it at that time, he actually, you know, a couple weeks ago, he's like, you know, Kyle, I like Barack Obama, but then this idea hit me that he's just another politician. Because I guess maybe, you know, I guess finally maybe the economy had hit him and he was seeing some of the solution. He was saying, like, well, why is Barack Obama for, you know, bailing out all these people who caused it? Or, you know, I don't know what exactly caused it, but I mean, that's why I say it's, you know, important to plant these seeds and to talk to people, because, you know, you might not see it manifest itself right in front of you today, but later down the road, that person is going to, there's going to be something out there that doesn't make sense to them, and they're going to come back to that idea you put in there like, well, hey, you know, he might have been onto something there.
Absolutely. So they will remember what was said.
Absolutely. You know, I've seen it happen many, many times. You know, another friend, you know, who's a supporter of George W. Bush and everything, I told him, you know, how the, you know, the dollar, everything about the dollar and the Federal Reserve and everything. And in the past couple of weeks, he's been like, man, how were you accurate about that? And I'm like, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not constrained by, you know, taboos or anything like that, or what people tell me I have to believe. I let the evidence take me to where it is and what I think is right and if I can support it. You know, so I think, you know, just by being around people like that, you start to rub off on them. And, I mean, if you have friends out, I mean, I'm telling everybody out there, if you have friends that are so ingrained into a certain philosophy, just get around them and talk with them, you know, be tactful, you know. One book I recommend for people, just be friendly and to, you know, win them over to your side is, you know, it's a book by Dale Carnegie called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And, you know, As long as you're genuine with people and you want to help them out and you want to be their friend, I'm pretty sure most of the time they will listen. You know, so that's just one take I have. And so far I thought it's been working out really, really well. And as I said before, you might not get the results today, but the thing is, if you're willing to invest a little bit of time in some people, they will eventually wake up to what's going on.
Yeah, it's good to know when to pick your shots and how to analyze people and how to approach them based on, you know, where they may already be at. It's also, you know, good advice, as you said, that you know, to a certain extent, you can attract bees more with, you know, honey as opposed to vinegar. And so sometimes we have to, you know, tone it down a little bit and understand where they're at, because people are in different stages of awakening, pretty much.
Absolutely, you know, especially after the past 8 years, you have some people who are, you know, they're more ingrained into, you know, the false left-right paradigm as opposed to everything, because, you know, the controlled opposition, whether it be Barack Obama or John McCain, you know, as a response to the other, you know, the Hegelian dialectic proposed by Hegel, and one of the main themes used by Karl Marx and his idea that the world would eventually progress towards socialism. So you kind of see this whole system playing off, and you see some people getting more and more ingrained into it. But at the same time, you see about the same amount of people that are starting to be like, well, hey, this is kind of, you know, bull here. They did this on us before. So why are we going to buy into it again? And you kind of see that with, you know, the bailout bill that's trying to go through. People like, no, we're not bailing anybody out. And you see them on the TV, oh, they're starting to use the whole same fear-mongering techniques. If you don't, you know, support this bill, you know, and it'll be the Republicans' fault or it'll be the Democrats' fault. And they just point fingers, and it comes back to that whole adversarial mindset that they have to get us against them. And that's one way they control us. It's the same with the cliques, you know, get different cliques off each other. It's amazing how this fractalization, you know, are you familiar with fractals, Alex?
Yeah, I think fractals are an interesting thing. I mean, the whole discussion of an infinite consciousness from the microcosm to the macrocosm. Kyle, we have a break. Stay with us, if you like. For the rest of y'all, 512-646-1984. Again, 512-646-1984. Don't be shy. Let your voice be your ultimate weapon of choice, at least. While you still can. Stay with us. Yeah, well, Kyle, you know, I used to go out and bullhorn a lot, you know, on 9/11, previous years, on the 4th of July, and, you know, now my approach is a little different because, I mean, there's so much going on. It's like a lot of these people just got to also learn some of the stuff for themselves. I mean, we're all independent here. I had to come to my own conclusions for myself, do my own research, and they have to do the same thing. So, you know, we also want to wake people up, but also we got to worry about ourselves in the meantime and what, you know, we need to be looking at in our own lives.
Absolutely. You know, as I said before, that's why, you know, like, as I was before we went to the break, I was talking about fractals, you know, and you start with a basic shape or a basic form at the very base, and then it just keeps on repeating itself into these larger and larger orders. And it's kind of an interesting phenomenon that I've seen socially about, you know, especially right now with the whole credit crunch going on and everything, as they so like to call it. It's amazing the connections between a debtor nation as a whole collectively and the government, and it just boils down to all these little groups. And as when you go down further and further and further, it turns out that a majority of the people are into a massive amount of debt, and it's just an a certain idea or a certain lifestyle is practically imposed up until higher orders, and you see it as a dominant society, higher order. It's just really amazing to watch, and that's why I advocate, you know, it changes at the individual level, because the thing is, say before, you know, you can go bullhorn on the corner all you want, but the thing is, if there's already counter propaganda out there to counter, well, anybody who says that's a kook, well, then you're really not making much of a difference, and you're just annoying people, and it's just reinforcing them into that belief system. And not to, you know, be, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking, you know, but I think sometimes it sends us in the wrong direction, and as opposed to using tact with people and, you know, understanding where they're coming from, we miss up huge opportunities to wake up large amounts of people.
Yeah, I agree. And it's good to not play into the game, because it is a game sometimes, people being played off of one another. And I saw a lot of the DNC. At the DNC, a lot of confrontations and a lot of that kind of activity like you're talking about. And it can really, you know, if it rubs people the wrong way, so what? But it can also kind of scare some people away that have never heard your message yet, if they only see it presented a certain way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are intimidated, you know, by someone yelling at them out of bullhorn and calling them, you know, a zombie, or, you know, it's one of the things, you know, that's hard to, I mean, how would you feel if somebody's trying to give you this message and they were calling you dumb? I think that plays into the whole, you know, brainwashing too. I mean, I don't call people names, you know, you know, one of the things I've started to do lately is, you know, all these, you know, people that, you know, people in our movement call scum, I started reading biographies about their lives. And the thing is, they aren't scummy people up until a certain point. And when their self-interest and whatever become key number one, and it dominates the whole lives, and they will do almost anything outside, even outside of moral, what we consider morally acceptable to do it. So it just raises another question. I mean, these people aren't born innately evil, and, you know, they're not, I mean, and some of their minions aren't scum either. I mean, that's, as you know, as Richard T. Hoagland, he's on Coast to Coast AM, talks about, you know, a lot of the NASA stuff. The lie is different at every level, and as soon as we realize that fact, I think that we can make more and more progress, you know, as a movement and, you know, as individuals.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I see a lot of reports about violence in the streets and people doing, like, horrendous things to one another, and I think that kind of stuff, too, in terms of the big picture, has to be dealt with, and our communities have to heal to a certain degree, because they're fairly decadent, I think, and increasingly so, by the year with all this insanity going on out there, people hurting one another. And something's got to change with that, too, for people to be able to work together. Because even if you change a system and you had something that was more in place with our ideals, say, for example, Ron Paul became the president, you know, how is that going to change things on the streets of America when we're engineered to be, you know, decadent to a certain degree, self-based, and focused mostly on the material world? It's a scary scenario, and I worry a lot about the young people that are being programmed today that are basically the future.
Absolutely. You know, I'm only 21, about to be 22, and I have to say, you know, I only woke up to this about maybe 2-3 years ago. And one of the things I think that's getting us young people today is this, you know, the celebrity culture, the video games, all this, or television, movie, all the stuff that makes us sitting down in front of something for hours at a time. We're not connecting with another individual person to person. I mean, we think in our minds we're connecting with the characters in the video game or the movie stars on the screen, but the thing is, are we really? I mean, it's not like, you know, you're engaging in reading or, I mean, I should phrase this carefully, most television programming nowadays isn't designed for you to analyze certain characters. They will bluntly tell you what they're all about, and that's it. Whereas if you're reading a book or watching a really, really good movie, you're actively engaged into thinking, well, what motivates this person? Why are they doing the things they're doing? What hints do I have? What clues, what else do I need? You know, it's, or, you know, in video games, the premise of the game is put out in front of you, and this is your objective. Very military and very objective, not very subjective, and that's kind of one of the reasons I don't play them anymore is because, well, you know, they take too much of my time and I'm too busy. But the thing is, once you realize that they're the same programming over and over and over again, and that it's just isolating it from every individuals, and it's just creating this adversarial system of, you know, us against them. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm against competition. You know, I think, you know, playing sports with your friends is fine, or, you know, Halo every now and then is fine. But, you know, when people get so ingrained into it that it becomes their personality, I think that's when we have a problem. And I think that's, you know, one of the systemic things with our generation especially.
I like to be very close to the propaganda at times to at least know what the enemy's saying. And sometimes that goes into a certain realm of darkness, like going into a video game parlor, you know, and I went to one. I haven't been to one in years, and I went last night and took a look at some of these games. And by the way, it's not just the media that's centralized. So have the video game corporations. They're all Japanese. And even if you win, you still have to pay. So just like casinos, the house always wins. And yeah, it's all death. It's all destruction. It's all, I mean, competition, but more of a violent sense. Than a healthy competition or competing, you know, healthy with your bodies. You know, they have some of these weird dancing machines and other types of machines, but, I mean, it's really just a bizarre Twilight Zone where, I mean, they have Ghost Wars, which I think is based by the Tom Clancy film, which I think is a simulation somewhat of World War III. So there's a big programming effect taking place, and it's actually worse in some of the games, the home games, than what you see in the arcade. I mean, there are some games out there that get very involved and very deep. And video games is basically the number one promotion tool for the military-industrial complex. I mean, there's a clear partnership there.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember reading a couple weeks ago. I can't remember where it was, but the military was using the simulator at one of the Six Flags parks. And it was, you know, getting people on a Humvee. They were shooting. They had guns, and they were able to shoot at, you know, terrorists and all that, and, you know, and that's kind of where, you know, the arcade step in, too, because as opposed to playing Halo, which you're just playing on your Xbox 360 controller, and you're really not holding anything, you think that you're holding a gun, but you're not, these arcades actually create the real thing in your hand. So when you're playing Deer Hunter, you know, which, you know, might be okay, but, I mean, when you're going out and playing these army games or whatever, you're actually engaging in killing, you know, these sprites on the TV, which you think are actual human beings, and you're opposed to them because, you know, you paid your money for this game, you're going to get your enjoyment out of it, and it's really bizarre, and that's why I kind of stray away from them now.
Yeah, well, it's addictive for a lot of people, and Ernest in Arizona, we see you there. We're going to bring you up in the next segment. In terms of video games, there is an addictive nature behind it, and people also get addicted to the machine. As a whole, or living a second life through the internet. There's something called Second Life. Have you heard of it?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it, and it's one of the most bizarre things I've seen, too. I mean, I couldn't imagine spending my time on, you know, a computer. You know, I mean, yeah, there might be a social aspect to it, but the whole concept of it seems bizarre, and, you know, I'm for people making their money, but this is not something I would invest my time in. And, you know, I think if other people out there knew there were more interesting things out there to do as opposed to, you know, participating in this quote-unquote second life, I think they would have less of a time, you know, they would not be engaged to spend their well-earned dollars on the stuff. I mean, have you heard about on this thing, too, that they have to spend money to buy their own clothes on it, and it's actual real money in the real world put into a virtual world?
I haven't heard of that, but I mean, I've heard of people talking about, oh yeah, they have to get back and take care of their body, you know, feed it, nurture it, you know, those type of things. I don't understand it. I don't understand fantasy football either. But Kyle, we got to end the segment. You're welcome to stay. You're an intelligent person. We got one more hour in open lines. But we're also going to talk to Ernst in Arizona at the top of the hour, coming up in just a little bit. The phone number is here at the studio. Okay. 512-646-1984. That's our number, and that's where we'll be, and we'll talk to you in a few.
Okay.
Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.